Okay. What we're going to learn over the however many times we continue to meet is we're going to learn the Ramban's Hakdama to the Torah. Why did I choose this? Because I think it is a little bit of a piggybacking off of the talk that I gave last Sunday that some of you were at. And it has to do with the Chashivas of Torah and understanding why Torah is important. And I think that if we want Torah to be a central point of our lives, so that we need to understand the significance of the Torah. And the Ramban's introduction to the Torah is critical to learn and to understand. There's a lot here to unpack about how we relate to Torah. So we're going to learn it together. Now, what you have in front of you, some of you have, is the sefer that I put out for my son's bar mitzvah. You don't have to have it. Also, I'm not going to simply sit here and read and translate the Hebrew and English to you because you can read it without me. We're going to try to elaborate and add on many of the points that are there as well. So if you have it, good. And if you don't, it's also good. Everything will still make sense. So let's read. Let's begin together. Let's read and study through the opening poem. The poem that the Ramban uses to introduce his commentary on the Torah. B'shem HaKel HaGadol V'Hanora, in the name of the great and awesome God, Aschil Lichtov Chidushim B'Feirush HaTorah. Everything here rhymes. I'm not going to read it in rhyming, but as you'll see, it's a poem that's supposed to rhyme. I'll begin to write Chidushim in my commentary explaining the Torah. Be'ema v'yira b'reses v'zeya u'b'mora, with fear and with trembling, and b'zeya with perspiration and awe, I'm going to do it. Now, the fear here that the Ramban writes about is not simply the fear because, oh my gosh, I'm writing a comment on the Torah and people are going to learn it and people are going to analyze it and people are going to critique me. That's not what he's doing here. He's actually quoting a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that when you just like, when the Torah says that every single day a person needs to see as if the Torah was given to them, again, every day is a Kabbalah Satorah. So the Gemara says in Brachos, when you learn Torah, it needs to be B'yira B'reses B'zeh U'V'mora. Just like at Har Sinai, Bnei Yisrael were trembling. This was important. This was a very serious thing. And the same thing as well when it comes to our learning of Torah. The fear that the Ramban is talking about is not the fear of making a mistake. I might say the wrong thing. The fear is that this is Kabbalah Satorah. When we come to approach the Torah, we view it with seriousness. We view it in something that we're dealing with, a serious thing. That's the posture we learn Torah with. A person doesn't sit and learn Torah while, you know, lying on the couch and, you know, with a drink in one hand. When you learn Torah, it has to be in a bekavadik way. They came to, I think that Rav Moshe Feinstein was very machlin when he learned Torah, that he did not learn with, often you see boys in yeshiva, they sit in a chair and they have a shtender and they lean the shtender back at them. You know what I'm talking about? They lean the shender back. So Moshe Feinstein felt that was totally inappropriate because you don't sit in a relaxing way over the Torah. You sit hunched over the Torah. You push yourself to bend your back over the Torah. You don't sit back like you're sitting there watching a movie. So Moshe would always sit, what they say, I don't have a picture to say this otherwise, but he would always sit with his sefer on the table over the sefer because you position yourself over the table. You don't make the Torah comfortable around you. And that's the Ramban is saying here as well. That when we come to learn the Torah, we learn the Torah with a seriousness. This is something that requires a yira, an awe, and a respect for Hashem's Torah. Mispalel u'misvada b'leiv nidke v'ruach shavura. I'm going to daven, I'm going to say vidui with a humble heart and a broken spirit. Shoel slicha mevakesh mechil v'kapara, and I ask forgiveness, and I'm looking for mechil v'kapara as well. And he understands that this is a very presumptuous thing. The sefer on the bottom, the Karim Pnei Moshe, or Moshe Greens, was a Talmid Chacham who lived in Farakwa. He wrote two volumes on the Ramban al Torah. They're about to republish them in a brand new printing, I think, in a couple of months. And he has very, very interesting ideas. So he says that the Ramban recognizes it's a bit of a chutzpah. I'm going to comment on Hashem's Torah. And therefore he's saying that I'm going to dive into Hashem for forgiveness. Bekeda berecha v'shtachavaya, with bowing on the ground, that's kida, bricha is on your knees, and v'shtachavaya is prostrating, means like in the Beis HaMikdash, when they said the Shema Meforish, everybody spread all the way down, their stomach, everything, that's v'shtachavaya. Ad shis pakaku kol chulyos shebishidra, until all of the vertebrae in my spine protrude. This we know from the halacha when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to daven far enough that if the spine begins to, you're supposed to bow, that the bones of the spine begin to stick out from the skin. That's how far you're supposed to bow. I mean, I'm going to bow all the way down when I daven to Hashem. V'nafshi yodas ma'od yediyah berura, and my soul knows very well, clearly, she'ein beitzas hanemala keneged hagalgal ha'elyon tzira, that the egg of an ant, which is obviously very, 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 very small, in comparison to the biggest sphere, the galgal, this is in the Rambam's view of the world. We spoke about this before, that the Aristotle and the Rambam viewed that the all of the planets are essentially giant clear spheres, that it's like balls inside of balls, and the planet kind of sits in that sphere. It's very hard to describe this if you have a picture, but it's not like there's air, but each planet is part of a galgal, this giant sphere that surrounds one another, and they all rotate inside of one another. This is before they knew what gravity was, so they wondered how did the planet stay where it was. So he says how the biggest of all the spheres, in comparison to the smallest egg of an ant, which is obviously quite distant, that is the same kasher chachmasi katana v'dati katzara keneged sisra haTorah. It's the same as my wisdom and my intelligence compared to all of the hidden aspects of the Torah. I am nothing compared to what the Torah has to offer. That's something to think about when someone says, well, I have a chiddush, well, I have something to say. You should probably say it with a little bit more humility before you say your own chiddush in the Torah. The hidden secrets of the Torah that are in the house of the Torah, that are concealed, that you have to go in to find them. They're not there for everybody to go and understand. Kol kliyakar v'chopela, every precious thing and every wonder. Kol sod amok v'chochach mefora, every deep mystery, all the glorious wisdom. Kamos ima chasum ba'otzra, they're hidden within the Torah. The Torah is a lashon nekeva here, that's sealed in the treasury. Now he says something very interesting. I'm not sure how I fully understand this, but he says that they are all there, beremez, bedibor, beksiva, uveamira. That the Torah is brought out in four ways. We could call it like, you know, dalad lishonos of gilui Torah. The four languages of revealing the Torah. I'm not sure how to understand the differences that Ramban is saying over here. Remez versus Dibor versus Ksiva versus Amira, but he clearly sees that there are a distinction when a person learns Torah, there are four ways to bring the Torah out. Then he says, Kasher Amara Navi Amafor Belavush Malchus HaTorah. And just as the Navi, who was wearing royal garments and a crown, said, so we point out over here that it's funny, he refers to David HaMelech as the Navi. That's like a funny thing to say. We don't usually refer, we know the David, well, maybe we don't. The Ramban calls David HaMelech here a Navi. He says the same thing in other places as well. He says that David and Shlomo wrote benching. In order to write tefillos, you need to be a Navi. And he says that Birchas HaMazon was also written by Nevi'im. And the Gemara says in Sota that David was one of the early Nevi'im as well. Ibn Ezra says that he was a Navi. Rashi says that as well. But the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that David was not a real Navi. So we see that he's kind of getting into this as well. But the Rambam we saw in Shmoneh Prakim refers to him as a Navi. And there's a big discussion. Was David a Navi or not? We generally assume that he was. But regardless, the first thing that the Ramban says about David HaMelech, he's a Navi. Usually we refer to him as David HaMelech. It's usually highlighted as Malchus. But the Ramban views David as a Navi. And what does he say? Mashiach Elokei Yaakov Ne'im Mezmiros, the one who was anointed by the God of Yaakov, and he says the sweetest songs. And he says, L'chol tichla re'isi keitz rechava misosecha ma'od. I've seen an end to every purpose, but your commandment is extremely broad. Meaning, there's no end. Torah is huge. There's so many mitzvos. If Hashem, the Rabbeinu Bachi says, if Hashem is infinite, and Hashem gave us the Torah, then perforce the Torah must be infinite. The Torah is endless, of what we could say. And all the mitzvos contain much, much more than we see. And this is part of Kavod HaTorah. Too often a person says, I don't understand this mitzvah, this chazal doesn't make sense, this gemara is... No. The chazal makes sense. We are confused. But the Torah is fine. The problem is not with the Torah. The problem is with us. We need to figure out what the Torah says. V'nemar polo seidosecha al kein nitzar samnashi, your testimonies are wondrous, and therefore the soul guards them. What can I do? Says the Ramban. Meaning, what's the Ramban saying? He's saying, meaning, yes, the Torah is infinite, and the Torah is way beyond me, and how could I ever approach and say anything about the Torah? But chashka nashi b'Torah. But I love the Torah. I love it so much. And I can't stay away, says the Ramban. I need to express my devotion and my love and my connection to the Torah. My love of Torah burns in my heart like a consuming fire, and it's in my bichalosai atzura, it's in my kidneys. It means that the Torah is in his whole being. The kidneys are often in Chazal a place of understanding. It's not for right now. The Gemara says that how did the Avos know the Torah? And the Avos, the Gemara says, because they knew it from their kalayos, from their kidneys. It means that they were able to understand intuitively what the Ratzon Hashem was. So there, the Ramban is saying that his whole body was suffused with Avos HaTorah. And I want to go in the footsteps of those who came before me, the lions of the group, Arayos Shebechabura. That's why we call the Talmidim of the Mir Yeshiva who survived Shanghai. They were the Arayos, the leaders of the Chabura, people like Rav Leib Malin and other Gedol Yisrael. They were the leaders of the group. That's where this expression comes from. Ga'one Hadoris Balei Gevura. These are the greatest of the generation. They have tremendous strength. The Hikanes Imam Ba'ove Hakura. And I want to enter with them into the Ove Hakura, the thickest part of the beam. This is a Gemara in Brachos. The Ramban is saying that he wants to attempt to carry the weight of the Torah. I want to carry the beam of the Torah with them. Rashi and Ibn Ezra, who we're going to talk about, they carry the Torah on their shoulders. The Ramban says, I want to join them as well to carry the weight of the Torah. To write as they explain the verses, the Midrash and the Mitzos and the Agadata. The Ramban here is actually making a statement here. Apparently, there's a difference between Medrash and Agadata. Zelo Pashut. It's not so simple that there's a difference. We often use them interchangeably. This is a medrash, this is a gadata, but apparently the Ramban sees them as two different things. Generally, a medrash means that which we darshan the psukim. I have a pasuk and I bring out an idea, right? Let's say, for example, the episode of Avram and Ur Kasdim, right? And the fiery furnace. Does the Torah mention anything about the fiery furnace? No, all it says is two words, Ur Kasdim, the fire of Kasdim. So they make a drasha, that's a medrash. From those two words, we bring out deeper levels of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Or the Torah says three times, lo sechalev gedi v'chalev imo, right? You shouldn't cook a calf in its mother's milk. So each of those three times teaches something else. From the psukim, I bring out an idea. Agadata is a story that has no clear reference in the psukim. Agadata might be something about, you know, the fantastical agadatas that they talk about. You know, the Gemara talks about a bird that was so big it laid an egg that wiped out 60 cities, or things like that. That's not based on psukim. That's an idea of Chazal. It's an idea of Torah Shebaal Peh that comes from a place that's not explicit in the psukim as well. So the Ramban says, I'm going to discuss all these things. Aruch mikol shmura. They're ordered in all things, and they are sure. This is based on a Gemara in Erevin that understands that you exert yourself in learning Torah, that I'm going to push myself in my Shmiras HaTorah, my Limud HaTorah. V'asim lema'or p'nei neiros ha-menorah ha-Torah, and I'm going to put the illumination before me with the light of the menorah. And he begins to talk about Rashi. Look at the kavod he gives Rashi. And we'll see the verses of Ibn Ezra. Perushe Rabbeinu Shlomo, the comments of Rashi. Ateres tzifiras tifarah. He is a beautiful crown and a glorious diadem. A diadem is a type of crown, like a headband, like a tiara. Muchtar binimusei b'mikra v'mishnah v'gemara. He's crowned with honor in psukim and mishnah and gemara. Lo mishpat habachora. The right of the firstborn goes to Rashi. Rashi is the most important commentary, says the Ramban. Chumash Rashi is, there's nothing more chashan than that. You cannot begin to explain the Torah, begin to learn Torah, unless you have Chumash Rashi down. And this is for everybody. We continue to stress again and again. If you are learning other things and you are not learning Chumash Rashi in your, let's say, Musar Hashkafa Seder, halacha, you have to learn halacha. But Chumash Rashi is bread and butter. I'm not saying you have to do Shnayim Mikra. It could be women aren't chayav in Shnayim Mikra. We can discuss that another time. But Chumash Rashi, you got to be familiar with it. You got to know the basics of Amunah and Hashkafas HaTorah, how to understand the psukim. The Ramban says, I'm not telling you, the Ramban is saying, Lo Mishpat HaBechora. The firstborn of all commentaries is Rashi. Nothing is better than Rashi, says the Ramban. Rashi, Rabban Shel Yisrael. He's the teacher of the Jewish people. Bidvarav Ha'egeb Avasam Eshka. In his words, I will meditate. I will be enraptured with their love of Rashi's words. And with them, we're going to discuss, investigate, and examine. In his pshatim, his understanding of medrash, dealing with agadotas that we find in his commentary as well. So that's the Ramban and Rashi go together, and that's important because sometimes you learn Ramban on the Torah, he disagrees with the Rashi. You have to understand where, you have to read the introduction, because if you don't read the introduction, you're not going to appreciate when he argues with Rashi, it comes from a place of great love and great respect. And he doesn't do it lightly. They say in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhin that a person who learns Chumash Rashi without Ramban is like learning Gemara with Rashi and not Tosos. Meaning, if you learn Gemara and Rashi, that's like knowing the simple understanding of Gemara. If you learn with Tosos, that's going stepping up a level. So Reb Chaim Volozhin said, if you learn Chumash with just Rashi, that's great. That's the way to do it. But the next step is to do Ramban. If you, the only next thing after Rashi, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, is Rashi, then Ramban. They go together. You have to learn them together. And then he pivots his attention. Then he pivots his attention towards his other person he likes to talk about, and that is Ibn Ezra. A famous line here. V'im Rebbe Avraham ben Ezra, tielanu tochachas migula, I will have open rebuke, bi'ava misutara, and a love that is concealed. Meaning, I deeply love and respect Ibn Ezra, but I'm going to attack him viciously. And that's why the Ramban constantly goes after Ibn Ezra. He does not like his derech halimud as well. There are 400 times the Ramban mentions Ibn Ezra. That's a lot. And there's a lot to say about this relationship, but I mention over here in the notes that Rabbi Yehuda Kuperman, his Pshutel Shel Mikra, is really the one who analyzes it the most. I think Pshutel Shel Mikra is translated into English at this point by Bernstein. So there he really discusses the unique relationship. The Ramban does not appreciate Ibn Ezra's very, very, very intense pshat. Now, we're going to see that the Ramban is not completely free from analyzing things according to pshat. He does, but he just does not enjoy the Ibn Ezra's approach. Okay, let's finish up the poem. Now, I just want to point out, I'm not saying you should do this, but the whole poem is written in you can read the poem in song. You know how they call up the Chasson Bereishis, the Chasson Torah, and Simchas Torah? Da 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 da. You can read the whole thing in that tune. Don't do that right now. But I'm saying you can read the whole thing. The whole thing matches that tune. That's like the niggun that the Ramban is writing it in. Vakela shir mimenu levado yira, yatsileni biyom av evra. And God, who I alone should fear, so he will save me on the day of wrath. It's so interesting that he writes this, because we do see the tremendous Yirah Shemayim of the Ramban. We see it in the famous debates in Barcelona, where they brought a trial against the Talmud, and the Ramban had to defend it. If you read the words of the Ramban, do you guys ever have to watch the video here? So the video is not amazing, but to read the trial of the Ramban versus Paolo Cresciani, the Ramban is so strong. He turns to the king and says, like, you know, please stop talking, let me speak. Like, the Ramban Mamash did not fear anybody else. His life was literally on the line. He had no fear of anybody else. And that's what he says over here. I only fear Hashem. And he practiced it in his life.
I keep me from making mistakes and messing anything up. And lead me on the straight path, and open up the gates of light, and I shall merit to see the day of good tidings, which means the days of Mashiach. Tichsiv, and he says, Ma nevu el harim ragleib mevaser, mashmiyah shalom mevaser tov mashmiyah Yeshua, omer l'tzion melech elokayach. He quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, and he says, we welcome the days where the mevaser, the announcer of Mashiach, is going to come and say that Hashem is the melech. This commentary, says the Ramban, is really about being a megal kvod shemayim. That's what he's saying over here. I'm telling you, the whole purpose of my commentary is to bring Mashiach. I want that my commentary should reveal Hashem's presence in this world. That's why he ends with this pasuk. And he says, Amen. Amen, that's what it should be. Then he does something very odd. And let's explain what he does over here. Then he quotes three psukim. Three psukim from Tehillim Kuf Yates, the longest chapter, the Tzadi section. And he says as follows. Your dictates are exceedingly pure, and your servant loves it. right? The Torah is pure, and I love it. Your righteousness is forever, and your Torah is truth. Your Torah is MS. Tzedek edosecha la'olam havineni v'yechya. Your testimonies are just. They're tzedek forever, and you give me understanding that I might live. So, first of all, I just want to point out two things. You see the Ramban's avas haTorah. He loves Torah. If you don't get anything else out of this, out of his poem, and all the details about Rashi, the Ibn Ezra, things like that, at least we should see the Ramban is in love with Torah. That is clear. He just loves every single part of Torah. Now, I just want to point out one other thing. This is perhaps an explanation. I don't know if it's MS, but it's perhaps an explanation. Do you see? What's with these three psukim? They all start with which letter? Tzadi. The Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer writes in Perek Memches that the Geula will begin with the Os Tzadi. That the Begula Ba'asad Lava is going to begin with the Os Tzadi. And it quotes a number of psukim that talk about the coming of Mashiach that begin with the Os Tzadi. What does that mean practically? That's way beyond my pay grade. I don't know. But I think that's what the Ramban is doing here. Because he just said that this whole thing is a tefillah, that it should be Megalik Vod Shemayim Tevil Hashem, and to bring Mashiach. And he begins all of these psukim, obviously on purpose, with the letter Tzadi. Why? Because the Tzadi is the letter that will bring Mashiach. That's what the Medrash says. Whatever that means, I don't know. But there he's ending with the tefillah as well for the coming of Mashiach. Okay? Good? Any questions? Yeah. Yeah.
Two questions. Like, is the way you dress, like, also, like, obviously, it's like, if you wear, like, slippers or, like, a sweatshirt?
I think it depends on the time and the place, and, you know, it depends on the circumstances. They tell a joke, and it's not such a funny joke, I'll tell it anyway. They tell a joke. There was a guy who was sitting in the base medrash, and he was sitting with his feet up, and he was drinking a beer, and he had a gemara open in front of him. So the mashkiach came into the base medrash and said, chutzpah, that's how you sit and you learn gemara with your feet up drinking a beer? So the guy said, no, this is how I relax. I relax with a beer and my feet up while I'm learning a gemara, meaning this is my downtime, it's bein astarim, and I have my feet up drinking a beer. And while I relax, I have a gemara in my hand. He flips it around. Okay, is it true? Probably not. But the point is that when you do learn, it should be with a sense of Kabbalah Torah. You're doing something important. The Torah is important. I'm not saying it can't be that you're sitting on the couch and relax one day and you're, you know, reading something. Whatever it is, that's fine. But the sense should be that we're doing something chashuv, we're doing something important, and you should try to the best of your ability to match that feeling. The way we dress impacts the way that we feel. Okay? No, it's all the same. I mean, it's not all the same, but for this regard, it's the same. Okay, let's start. Let's start the Hakdama, and let's get into the Ramban's introduction. Okay, so Rav Yerucham Levavitz, just about the Ramban's parish in the Torah, Rav Yerucham Levavitz writes in the Das Torah, he says, Ayin Sham, about this introduction, he says, Ayin Sham Bifnim, Kol Devarav Nifloim Shi Be'emes Psicha Mavtechas Eskol HaTorah. Rav Yerucham said that the Ramban's Hakdama is an introduction to the whole Torah. Kalula hi b'kai makafes, it isn't perfect. It encompasses everything. The kisva b'ruach HaKodesh v'ad. The introduction was written with Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Rabbi Ruach Levavitz said. So with that in mind, let's jump into it. Moshe Rabbeinu kasav ha-sefer ze'im ha-Torah kul mipiv shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah from the mouth of Hashem. What does it mean from the mouth of Hashem? The mouth, the peh, is the place where your machshava, your thoughts, become revealed to the world. The Nefesh HaChaim writes in Shardal, that's the meaning of when we talk about the peh of Hashem, the mouth of Hashem. It means that the peh of Hashem means that the machshava, so to speak, the plans of Hashem come to fruition. That's what the peh means. So the mouth of Hashem means the Torah came into fruition from Hashem directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea that Hashem and Moshe wrote the Torah, that it's Hashem's Torah, is based on the Gemara in Bava Basra. And he's addressing the fact that, and we're not going to get to the answer today, but the Ramban wants to address the fact that if it's really Hashem's writing, Bereishis has an anonymous narrator. That's the question he wants to answer. Why is it that Torah is written as if Moshe is not the author? Moshe did write it. So how come Moshe writes the Torah as if in third person? Why does Moshe say, and I went to Mitzrayim? Why is he writing in this perspective, right? That's the question the Ramban's going to address. But let's first lay out the foundation over here. And it's likely that he wrote it on Har Sinai after the Torah was given. The Ramban disagrees with the Rashi, who says that the beginning of the Torah is written before the events of Har Sinai. The Ramban says the Torah was written after the events of Har Sinai. Shina Amar, though, when Hashem told him, Aleh Elayah Harabaya Sham, come up to the mountain, and I'll give you those tablets, and I'll give you the Torah and the mitzvos that I wrote there to teach them to you. So the Ramban is now going to make a drasha. The Ramban's drasha here is against the Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos has a drasha about what these things are. What are Luchos Evan? What is a Torah? What is a mitzvah? What are these things? The Ramban is going to stand the Pasuk against the Gemara. So the Stei Chemed, the Mari Asad discusses how could he do such a thing? It's a drush against the Gemara. And the Stei Chemed says, no, the Ramban in many places does interpret things against Chazal. The Ramban also says his own Pshatim sometimes. It's not only Ibn Ezra who says things against Chazal the Rashbam. The Ramban also does that sometimes. And that's perfectly okay. So the Ramban says, what are these things? Ki haluchos ha'eben, the stone tablets, yichla haluchos ha'michzav. That is obviously the luchos, and what's written on them, kolomar ses ha'derbos, the Ten Commandments. Okay. B'ha'mitzvah, what is the mitzvah? Mispar ha'mitzvos, kulan, asev los ha'sei. When it says the mitzvah, that means the number of mitzvos, positive and negative commandments. Fine. That's what he says. So let's discuss this idea. Now, the Ramban writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos that the number 613 is received from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that there's 613 mitzvos. And it's important. Why? Why am I so obsessed with 613 mitzvos? So I can make gematrias out of it? Or I can turn it into songs? Why are we so obsessed with this number? And if there was 611 mitzvos, what is so magical about this number? So the Ramban writes in his Akdam to the Sefer HaMitzvos that we need to know what's mandated and what's not. What's Doraisa, what's the Rabbanan? It does have an impact. That's why all these we showed, the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah and the Sefer HaChinuch, they are so obsessed with counting 613 mitzvahs. However, the Ramban does write there that maybe 613 is not so magical. Maybe it's not so significant. Because at the end of the day, if I can show that this is a mitzvah in the Torah, and I can bring a pasuk or a gemara to show it's a Doraisa, so then it's a mitzvah in the Torah. And what if I counted everything up and I count all these Doraisas and I got to 614 or 615 or 617? Are you going to tell me it's not a mitzvah Doraisa? Meaning, how are we supposed to know for sure what's Doraisa, what's the Rabbanan? We have different opinions. We have different shittas in the Gemara. So the Ramban kind of downplays the idea that 613 is this number that we have to worship, so to speak. If I miss a Doraisa, it's a Doraisa. If it's a Darabanan, it's a Darabanan. The Chazon Yoel says that's why the Ramban doesn't say Taryag Mitzvah. He just says, what's a mitzvah? What's a Doraisa? What's a mitzvah? But we don't necessarily have to worship this particular number as well. Now, the Rambam writes in Zagdam to the Mishnah Torah. He says the Pasuk differently. That is teaching us that all the mitzvahs with their explanations were given to Hashem and Moshe and Har Sinai. And Torah is Torah Shedechsav, mitzvah is Torah Shvapeh. So then the Ramban says, Imkain, if that's the case, what's left is Torah. What's Vaha Torah? Well, if you told me it's the Ten Commandments already taken, and you told me that the mitzvahs are already taken, so what's left? The Ramban says, Vaha Torah, Yichlol Hasipurim Mitchilas HaBreishis. It is the stories. The word Torah, says the Ramban, are the stories from Breishis. Kihu Mora Anashim Bederech Beinyan Amuna. Because it's called Torah because it teaches us the ways of belief in the Torah. And the Ramban is saying something very, very important here. That the stories in the Torah are just as chashuv as the mitzvos. They were also revealed in Har Sinai. Just like the mitzvah of Shatnez, or Basar B'chalav, or Shabbos, was taught to Moshe in Har Sinai, and it comes from the same place, the stories of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Adam, and Noach, and all those people, are also considered an important part of the Torah as well. There's a parish on the Torah from one of the greatest Bali Musar, Rav Yosef Lipovitz. Rav Yosef Lipovitz is probably more famous for the Nachas Yosef on Rus. It was translated twice. Rabbi Lopiansky has a parish on it as well. It's a very popular thing to learn around Shavuos time. And his commentary on Rus is considered to be a very important work of Musar, and it's highly recommended. But Rav Yosef Lipovitz, who lived, you know, around the Holocaust and after the Holocaust, he also wrote a parish on the Torah. So he writes in his introduction that the main aspect of the Torah is the stories. When you learn mitzvos, and you learn hashkafas haTorah, So that's like a professor who teaches you theorems and he teaches you principles in chemistry and physics and science and things like that, or whatever it is you may be learning. So you learn all these things in the abstract. I learn mitzvahs about how I'm supposed to act. What are the stories of the Torah, the stories of the Avos? That's the real world. We take the ideas of the Torah, we take the theories of the Torah, and we apply them practically to real life. So when you learn Bereishis and parts of Shmos and parts of Bamidbar that has the stories of the Torah, that's taking the theories of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, and showing you how they play out in real life, how a person should practice, how to not practice, and all these examples make it much more powerful. Emunah, like a story, is something that you experience. It's not enough to go to a shir or to read a book. And now I have theories about Emunah. I have concepts about bitachon. You need to practice in real life. You need to make it real for you. A story allows us to connect. What do you connect to? What are the best speeches you remember? The best speeches you remember are stories. You remember the stories and the things that surround the story because it touches your neshama. You connect to it. You relate to it. So the stories of the Torah are what takes the ideas of the Torah, the ideas of the mitzvos, and they implant them in our hearts. And that's why it's on the same level. The Rambam writes in the Maravuchim that it's called Torah because the entire book, including Gracious, allows us to show the correct path. Rabbi Hartman, in his comments in the beginning of Bereishis in the Maral, so he says that the Maral says there are three different meanings to the word Torah and what Torah is meant to be. In different places, Rabbi Hartman says the Maral refers to Torah as a book of commandments. In some places, it's a book of wisdom. And in some places, it's a book that guides a person towards Olam Haba. And the Maral uses all of those things as well in his particular understanding of Torah. But that's not necessarily the Ramban's understanding. Okay, this is a good introduction. Be'ezras Hashem will continue next time.